Welcome back for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous, starring your hosts, Philip and Nick. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the topic of forgiveness and pretty much just how crucial that is to being in step with the Spirit. So we're going to open up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." It's a very simple verse, but it just kind of really sums up the importance of forgiving others, because the whole reason that we're accepted into the kingdom, that we were forgiven for our trespasses and for our mistakes, and to act as Christ, we're supposed to also forgive, because that was the number one characteristic of the Father, is that he's forgiving. So it is only right for us to imitate that in forgiving others.
Yeah, I mean, Nick's got a good point there. It's something in today's times we really don't see a whole lot. A lot of people will write other people off for something they may have done, or a wrong that they have done to you, or just something even external. They're like, oh, they did that to that person, I will no longer speak to that person. You have to understand that forgiving that person and understand that they're going to continue to make mistakes. They might do things to continue to make you mad. Forgiveness is understanding that although this person isn't perfect, they may be the person, they still may be a connection with you and that person, right? That person is still a person of God. Just because they do something to wrong you, just because they do something to make you mad, doesn't mean you should completely write them off the face of the earth, because God wouldn't do the same thing to you or for you.
Yeah, we're supposed to be gracious towards our brothers and sisters and constantly giving them grace. Even though they fall, we still don't see them any differently. We see them the exact same way that our Father sees us. And that is, as, you know, sinners, as we're all defined by that. But we're no longer defined. Like, the God of the universe doesn't define us by our sin because of the sacrifice made by the Son. So we don't define others by their sin. If it's a brother in Christ, we do, we forgive them, and, you know, we bring up the issues to them. And we either get past it or we don't. And then if it's someone that's not, who isn't, you know, led by the Spirit and who isn't a believer, then it's a different subject. You're going to forgive them, but it's hard to even see the wrongdoing and what they've done, because they don't even, haven't even agreed to live by the same standard that you're holding them to. So it's important to be an evangelist to those that are unbelievers, while also forgiving and understanding that they are sinners as us, but they don't have a standard that they feel like they're being held to the same way that we do. And then as brothers and sisters, we're to be forgiving. And then Peter, so in Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" So Peter's pretty much saying, like, more than a couple, is that? And then Jesus looks at him and he says, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." And then in the original translation, it says 70 and seven times. So, I mean, that could be 70 times seven. And as me and Philip were just discussing, anytime there's a three-digit number that ends with a zero in the Bible, they're talking about, like, an indefinite amount, you know? So Christ forgives us for every sin of every second since the day we were born. And that's how we're supposed to be towards our brothers and sisters. And Joby brought up a good point Sunday. He was like, only, you know, if they've sinned against you, you know what I mean? Like, just being annoying isn't a sin. Just because you don't like somebody, that they're not sinning against you. So definitely don't hold, you know, grudges on people because of something that they're not even doing ill will. But, you know, when you are sinned against, that's when it's hard to forgive. And there's a bunch of reasons people don't want to forgive. We'll go over those here in a second. But you just have to understand, to fully be set free, not only in the eternal aspect, but in the, you know, everyday life aspect. And if you want to live life to the fullest, can't be held back. So when you unlock the handcuffs, or you break that chain of holding a grudge, you're not setting them free. You're setting yourself free from being held back to however that person made you feel. Understand that that person did hurt you. They probably took something away from you. But by forgiving them, you say, you know what? I'm no longer held to this. And of course, you're still going to have the emotions. We were just talking about this. There's still, if it's a spouse or if this is a family member, somebody you're really close to that's done you wrong, and you forgive them, the topic's still going to come back up in the future. The Bible says that God remembers no more. Nowhere in the Bible does it say forgive and forget. That's not a biblical topic. That was never once said. It was just remember no more. You don't forget it. It's not like God says don't remember. Just remember no more. It's not going to be at the top of your list. You're not going to look at that person and define them by how they've treated you. You give them a clean slate the same way that we get a clean slate every time we repent.
I mean, that's exactly right. It is what Nick just said. You're always going to remember something, right? You're always going to remember. Well, you remember that one time? How many times has somebody heard that? You remember that one time you did X, Y, Z? You'll never forget those things. You might even bring it up yourself in a heat of moment. There might be emotions attached to that you'll, like Nick said, you'll never forget those emotions. Emotions were powerful at the time, and they'll be powerful the next time you remember it. But forgiveness, an eternal forgiveness, and put it this way, how can we expect to continue to be forgiven by our Father who we continue to ask for forgiveness if we can't do the same to other people? Right? And I think in a certain way, by not forgiving somebody, it's a way of saying that person will never change. Just another way of judging somebody else. Just a way of condemning somebody to something that they may not be. Not all of us are always perfect. We all do things that, you know, are wrong. We all do things that we wish we could, you know, take back. But at the end of the day, time goes on. And if something's are the best way to look at something, to get over it, the best way to look at something, to forgive somebody else, is if it's already happened and they are doing things to change it, then there's nothing you can do to change the past. Nothing you can do in the current moment to change what happened in that moment, the past, or whatever happened, you know, whatever they may have said to you, whatever they may have done to you. You know, I have family members that, you know, there's certain family members we don't even talk to anymore because we don't forgive each other, because we don't talk to each other. That's not how I want to live my life. That's not how I want to view people. Just because they wronged somebody I knew or just because they did something I didn't like doesn't necessarily mean that I should write them out of my life. Doesn't mean I should necessarily think that they are bad people, that they can't change, that they can't seek the Lord and become a new person. I think that's a whole new form of judgment that we haven't, you know, most people don't even really consider.
And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you have to continue in relation with that person, or it doesn't mean that you have to keep dealing with what they're doing. So the Bible, it says that only if they listen and agree to what you're saying, then you have gained a brother. So if there's still like dispute between you and you've forgiven them, because ultimately reconciliation takes participation of both parties. If you've forgiven that person and they still are wanting to hold on to something and not forgive you, that's okay. You can still continually forgive that person, but not be in relation, because that's their part. You know what I mean? Relationships always have both ends. So it's easy to forgive the people that forgive you, but it's a little more difficult when they don't forgive you and they still want to hold a grudge against you. Because one of the reasons that people don't like to forgive is they feel like it takes away of the value or the effect of how much they have hurt you or impacted you. So it's kind of like if my family member was murdered and I was in the courthouse, and it's like I look at him and I say, let him free. You know what I mean? Not that that would ever happen, because obviously persecution is needed when that's like me going in there and saying, you know what, I think you should be free. I don't know. It's there's definitely like And that's one thing that I've been learning here recently is the levels that are to forgiveness, because ultimately it's not forgive, 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 treat everybody the exact same. You know, if someone's done you wrong and they don't want to change, don't keep letting that snake bite you. You know what I mean? That's God's way of like guiding you out of that direction and down a new path. And now, you know what I mean? There's nothing more honorable than you to continually pray and continually forgive for that person that still doesn't want it to. You know what I mean? Because that's ultimately what Jesus says is love your enemies. You know, and we might not have someone that wants our head on a platter, but we definitely have like kind of small scale people that we are in disagreement with that are considered like a enemy. Yeah.
Well, and Nick kind of started to get on that topic there, but when you think of, say, somebody killed your family member, you can still forgive that person, right? At the end of the day, sending them to go, you know, be killed in the persecution system and our prison system here in the United States, whether there or even some places even still had the firing squad or the lethal injection. At the end of the day, killing that person is not going to bring back the person they murdered. What's already happened has happened. If you can see a change in that person and you know that person has the ability to change, that forgiveness allows them to change. But by continuing to say, you murdered this person, that person's going to be thinking of themselves constantly as a murderer. So they're going to go out and they're probably going to do it again, because that just alters that mindset of, and instead of saying, hey, I know this isn't you, this isn't the person God wants you to be, they're going to think of themselves as a murderer. They're not going to think of themselves as somebody who can be saved, somebody who can be forgiven, somebody who can be loved by a power that we have no true comprehension of. Instead, they're going to fall back into what they've always fallen back on. They're going to fall back on that sin that they committed. Whether that eats at them to the point of depression, whether that eats at them to the point of another murder, whether that eats at them to the point of where they kill themselves, that's not what you want to be. That's not the type of person you should strive to be, the person of vengeance, the person that goes out and, you know, kills somebody just because they, you know, an eye for an eye, essentially. The Lord tells us, and Jesus tells us, if somebody strikes you, to turn the other cheek. Be difficult. Not the easiest thing to do. Forgiveness is something that's not necessarily the easiest thing to do, because it's not in our basic human nature. Our basic human nature, if somebody hits us, is to hit back. So if somebody throws an insult at you, basic human nature is to throw an insult back. Instead of saying, hey, I don't know why you, instead of, and most people taking a step back and saying, hey, I don't know why you just did that. I don't know why you just said that to me. I don't know why this person just hit me. And going, what's wrong with this situation? What can I do to help this person? What can this person do to help elevate me, to help me understand a better version of myself and something that I can do to improve? Or maybe something I can do to bring another person into, you know, to bring another person into God's presence.
I think the biggest thing about that whole topic of forgiveness, if it's on the magnitude of something of that aspect, just think about how hard that is to forgive them. I can only imagine, like, my dog, per se. Like, that is my pride, joy I look forward to seeing every day. If something happened to my dog that was related to something a human being did, oh, dude, I'm praying now for that moment to happen to where I can allow forgiveness, because that just sounds like an impossible task. But like, to a holy and perfect God, like, even just one sin is considered, you know, unrighteous. So for him to forgive us, you know, for our 50 million sins that we commit in a lifetime, it's pretty outrageous, because ultimately, even if only one sin was committed, Jesus still would have had to die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if we were naturally like 99.9% righteous beings with 1.01 of us that was still sinners, Christ still would have had to like die this torturous death. So that's just how important sin is, you know? So it just seems like one of the hardest ones, forgiveness, because, you know, I say that I've forgiven everybody, but who knows, the day might come to where I have to battle with whether I want to forgive someone. And then when he was talking about, you know, how we want to get our revenge on people, and, you know, eye for eye, it definitely is the natural reaction of human beings, especially here in the South. But I just put up Acts chapter 2, verse 35. And this one's kind of, you know, this one's kind of a pokey verse, you know. So this is talking about your enemies. And this, and when it says your enemies, it's not talking about, you know, your neighbor that cranks up their lawnmower too early. It's talking about the people that do not want to reconcile, the people that do not want peace. And, you know, what the Bible considers as an enemy is not a sinner. An enemy is, you know, someone hurting the innocent, someone who is, you know, denying the Spirit and furthering the kingdom of darkness, ultimately, is what an enemy is. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 35, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So one thing you have to understand is God is a judge, right? So when he sees that you're giving him something, and he sees that you're doing what you're told and forgiving that person, you say, no, you know what? I'm going to let my God handle that. Oh, he does. You know what I mean? He will. And it might not be a slap across their face, but it could be, you know, a lifetime of being dissatisfied, which is, could you imagine? You know what I mean? I would rather get punched in the face by Mike Tyson than to be guaranteed I'm going to live a dissatisfied life. And when I see, like, a lot of people living in modern times, and a lot of, especially dads, it seems like there's a lot of bitterness in old people and, you know, older folks. And one thing Joby said I thought was crazy, he said, if you get down to it, the person who is bitter was almost always hurt sometime in the past. There was always something that happened to them that, you know, they held on to and then has changed their whole personality to where they can't see straight and they can't enjoy the things you're supposed to be enjoying. Which to me, you know, that sounds like a personal hell. Like, it's like no matter what you get, you could literally go win the lottery tomorrow and you're still going to be miserable. That's hopeless. That sounds miserable. And ultimately what that is that person somewhere along the line didn't forgive somebody that had done them wrong. No, and I think that's, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of funny. I was watching Over the Hedge last night, a movie I haven't seen in forever, dude. And it's like the opening scene, the raccoon sneaks into the bear's cave and he's stealing all his snacks that he had stored up for the winter. And as he's leaving, you know, he tries to pop open one bag of chips and then the bear wakes up and the bear, like, literally picks him up and looks him in the face. He's about to eat him. And then he's like, hold on. But if you eat me now, I'm not going to be able to get back, you know, what I've taken from you. And he says, okay, well, here you go. I'm going to give you a week. Go get it. And we don't get timelines, but it's like you're supposed to forgive someone, because even though you're not going to be able to get back what that person has taken from you, you're only going to lose more, especially if that person is considering reconciliation, which we always want to judge people based on their actions and not their intentions. But we want people to judge us based on our intentions, but not by our actions. So we have the same way that we want to be treated, is the way that we're supposed to treat others. Because King David, you know, David and the Goliath, when he died, after he came into the kingdom of God, he was still sinning and he was still doing things that were opposed to the kingdom of God. But when he died, God still said that he was a man of his own heart. And I think it was just the intentions of David's heart were always right. He still slipped and falled. But the same way that God saw his intentions and not his actions is the same way that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be seeing people by, you know, maybe that person stole all those things because they didn't want to go hungry. You know what I mean? Or they have a family to feed and we're not always going to see them as a thief, but someone that just needs help, you know?
Yeah. Shifting your perspective on something, you know, something that's helped me a lot is being able to delve into somebody else's mind, right? So if somebody says something to me or somebody does something to me, I'm like, why would they do that? Right? Why? I have to put myself in their shoes to say, well, if I was in their situation, what would I have done? A little bit hard to do because you never really know what somebody's truly going through in a certain time or whatever. But it's just the smallest things, you know. You know, why would somebody say somebody hasn't slept for, you know, all day, they haven't slept good in the last week. And you come, you know, you come over to their house or whatever, or maybe they're your roommate and you come home and you're just a little bit loud and then they just flip a switch and they're mad at you because you woke them up from the first nap that they've gotten in 2 weeks. And they've only gotten 5 hours of sleep each night. You can sit there and dwell on that and say, hey, that person flipped out on me and I'm not going to be spoken to like that. Or you can say, you know, I kind of understand where they're coming from. You know, shifting the perspective on the situation, right? I see why he flipped out on me. If I had only gotten 5 hours of sleep each night for the last 2 weeks, I'd probably be a little bit cranky too if somebody came in just making a bunch of noise when I said I was going to be taking it. So there is that.
But when we talk about the importance of all this and being able to live freely, so to be able to have the abundant life applied to your life through day and day, you have to be forgiving. But ultimately, to, you know, this is a discussion that I was saying me and my disciple group were having about forgiveness. And it's to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, it says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I mean, I don't see any like abbreviations in there. I don't see any parentheses. I just see like, you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. I mean, that's the eternal importance of it. But that's where we get into it. You are still going to have emotions. You're still going to be upset with people. But from the bottom of your heart, if you've forgiven that person, they're forgiven and the Spirit's forgiven them. Because just the same way that we still fall into sin every day, once you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, get baptized, the Spirit is promised to you. So that Spirit begins to come and live into you. And I know a lot of my, you know, the Christians and people that are new into it, he gives you a new heart. And if it's something that you can't say that like you fully experienced, then ask him, you know, seek and you'll receive. And, you know, the Bible says that if you understand everything he has set out for you, then to walk into it. And if you don't, ask him and he will give you that. So the Spirit, you know, our new heart, naturally is forgiving. So as soon as I get done wrong, in my head goes, okay, you know, go find them and slash all their tires or ask God to forgive them so I can forgive them. And then boom, I'm forgiving them. Yes, I'm still going to have my days as time goes by. I'm still going to be understanding the things that they have taken from me and how hurt doesn't just go away. It's going to be a process. But I feel like by continually forgiving them, so I feel like the first forgiveness is, okay, the Father is now forgiven you because you've forgiven it. But then to have it applicable, be set free from it, you have to continually forgive them. So I was telling him, you know, this past Sunday, the whole sermon was on forgiveness. And they gave everybody these debt ledgers to write down the names of people that have hurt them, or that they may have not forgiven, what they have taken from you. So to go into all this is just to show really the seriousness behind this. But I know you praise God that he's forgiven us. So, you know, we are led only to do anything other than, you know, forgiving everybody else. And it's hard, you know, sometimes it's hard because society sets this like limit on who is forgivable and who is not. It's very, very easy to fall into. But it's the same way that the the world has, you know, shaped how we see abortion, or shaped how you see sex or gender or money, anything. Like, the world wants to shape your mind on these specific topics, and that's why it's so important to have your sword sharpened, being in the Word, to know what is right and what is wrong.
I think we're going to wrap it up here. Kind of a little bit of a shorter one, but we got our point across for the most part. You can't continue to dwell on things. You can't continue to, you know, hold things against people. You have to forgive them. You have to understand that they're probably going to make a mistake again. They're probably going to upset you again in the future. But, you know, God views us the same way. God knows that we're going to continue to upset Him. God knows we're not going to continue to be perfect little disciples all the time. But at the end of the day, He's forgiven us for everything we've done and everything we will do.
So hallelujah for that. Praise God that we are forgiven and we're continually forgiven. It is such a, you know, such a glorious thing to think about, that no matter how much wrong you can do, you're continually going to be forgiven. Something to praise God about. And it's even more important, you know, to live that out. Keep forgiving others as Christ has forgiven you. Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous.
Thank you.